You are Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the podcast where we talk about all of Major League Baseball, and I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. On today's episode, we have the host of Locked On Jays, A.J. Andrews, to talk about the Toronto Blue Jays now, of the recent past, and of the hopefully optimistic future. This show is available on the free and easy-to-use Himalaya podcasting app. We're also available on all the places we get your podcasts. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB or any other great show from the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Jays, and then both hands on the wheels, both eyes on the road. No crashing, please. You can follow us on Locked On MLB on both Instagram and on Twitter. I am your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter and Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Yes, I actually got someone to write me one of those Twitter direct messages. How they got in there, I don't know. But they said, you don't talk enough about the Blue Jays. And they were right. I mean, mea culpa. What can I say? But do you know what? I realize I'm not the biggest Blue Jay fan in the world. In fact, the last time I went to a Blue Jays game was back in 1995. And back then, they had Joe Carter, Paul Molitor, and Roberto Alomar. So we got to have someone who is a little more up to date, possibly can talk a little more about the Blue Jays of this millennia. And that's why we reached out to A.J. Andrews of Locked On Jays. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sally. This has been a long time coming. You're not the only one who's gotten the DMs being like, oh, you should be on the MLB show. Well, we're going to make it happen now.
We are going to make it happen. By the way, there's a little drag in your microphone there. Did you hear that, or am I going crazy here?
Yeah. My internet connection is a little unstable on my end.
Okay.
That wonderful Canadian Wi-Fi.
Yeah. You know what? Everyone talks about Canadian healthcare, but that Canadian Wi-Fi, you know, you can't be, I'm here in Silicon Valley where the Wi-Fi is fresh. This is like the source. This is where the internet starts from here and it emulates out to Canada. So, yeah. Anyway, do you know what? I'm not even going to edit that out. We're just going to move on forward. Maybe that is a metaphor for the Blue Jays of what has happened since Carlos Santana caught that pop-up to end the 2016 ALCS. It's not been pretty north of the border. I hate to rub it in, but I mean, the Expos have had it better recently because at least the team that they became won a World Series. So,
Don't tell that to people in Montreal. They won't take it.
No. Walk us through a little bit of what this offseason's been like, because as I said to you earlier when we were setting up, other than bringing in Jake Petrichka, I'm not 100% sure what the Blue Jays, who have tried to dip their toe into the Yasmani Grandal sweepstakes and some other free agents, they've been, at least from my end, a little too quiet.
Well, it's been funny. Like you talk about how 2016 was that last kind of glory moment for the Blue Jays. Since then, it has been almost a bit of a last gasp hurrah, and it kind of imploded before it even started. And then last year, let's just not talk about last year.
Didn't happen. I'll just be a men in black. I'll hold up the men in black thing and flash it, and that'll be it. It'll be gone from your mind.
I think we have methods of doing that up here that I'm not sure I can talk about on air.
Nope. Not a sponsor.
No, we'll leave that alone. But this offseason's been one of surprising optimism, just because well, with the younger guys who are coming in, we saw Bo Bichette last year, we saw Elias Jr., we saw Kevin Biggio, we saw a Lourdes Gurriel that go to the outfield and cannon to his heart's content. but the problem's been the pitching. And this offseason's actually given a lot of Blue Jays fans hope that, you know, there's actually a starting rotation again, which is something we did not have last year. If you saw the parade of outstretched arms that were used to start games, Wilmer Flint ended up making second most starts on like the end of season roster after Marcus Stroman was traded and Aaron Sanchez was dumped. And, you know, we were essentially left with Trent Thornton and a couple rookies and whatever Korea Baseball League reject the Blue Jays could pull out. Like, it was a train wreck. And now there's like actual arms in the rotation that might be able to last 150 innings. Specifically, this signing of Hyunjin Ryu has a lot of people excited because, you know, those premium free agents, they don't come to the Blue Jays.
No, I was stunned that Ryu was going to the Blue Jays. I thought he was either going to return to the Dodgers or that he was actually going to drive down the five to the Angels. I thought that was where he was going. And when he popped up with Toronto, that caught me off guard.
Yeah, it caught a lot of us here off guard too, because like the biggest premium free agent signing the Blue Jays have made in like the past 10 years has been Russell Martin. And we had the advantage on Russell Martin because he's Canadian. So like that was going to happen. So to get a guy like Ryu to be able to commit, I mean, like Tanner Roark has been essentially the cap. And when Roark signed, it's like, okay, well, we got someone at least. That's a something. So the news of Ryu coming down the pipe was stunning, to say the least. Like, if the listeners want to check out my Hyunjin Ryu episode, it's really entertaining because I was in a really bad mood. I had to watch the Grumpy Cat Christmas movie earlier that day. Nice. So, yeah, my roommate's a fan. Yeah. But yeah, it was just stunning. And you, when you look into like Ryu's experiences on this side of the ocean after he came over from South Korea, it actually got a little less surprising, because when I was doing research on him, he specifically noted his first start in Toronto came in 2013, and he got a standing ovation from the crowd in Toronto, even though he didn't perform well. Just a lot of the Korean diaspora were at that game and performing for him. And when you're, you know, in your first year of MLB, that's the sort of thing that sticks with you. And I'm sure that stuck with Ryu in addition to getting a fourth year. That probably helped as well.
Yeah. Well, you know, Ryu's an interesting cat as a pitcher goes, because he has had about 3.5 excellent seasons and missed all of 2015, missed almost all of 2016. So between 2014 and 2017, he pitched one game in the major leagues between, you know, in that interim stretch there. But I was in Los Angeles during most of his time where he was healthy. And if he's healthy, you've got a terrific pitcher. You have someone, I mean, I think last year's Cy Young runner-up season may have been a little bit of an outlier, but a lot of times for a team like the Blue Jays, who are just trying to see if they could take advantage of a, what's the best, of a front runner's funk, the one of the best things you can have when you have young pitchers on the team is to have someone that you could sort of latch onto. The example I gave when I was younger, it's probably before your time, was in 91, when the Braves had a ton of young pitchers, but they acquired Charlie Liebrandt from the Royals, who was not a star, but he was a stable veteran. Said, all right, you know that at least one start out of five is going to be by a stable vet. And the talented pitchers kind of fed off of that and started the great run they had. And I kind of feel that's a little bit of what Ryu's job is to be. I mean, if they get a Cy Young runner-up season, great. But if nothing else, they could say, hey, we know every 5 days we're going to hand the ball to a major league pitcher, which means that we're probably not going to go on a prolonged funk. So,
yeah,
at least you hope.
And that was a major issue last season with the Blue Jays. I mean, that you talk about Charlie Liebrandt. The person in the Charlie Liebrandt role last season for the Blue Jays was Edwin Jackson. Huh. And if you mention Edwin Jackson to any Blue Jays fan, you just get a loud sigh and just a shake of the head, because it had to be the clubhouse presence that kept Edwin Jackson around for like 10 starts of like a, what I don't even remember his ERA, but I'm pretty sure it was four digits. So it was just not good. And that was the big thing about getting Ryu, getting Rourke, getting Chase Anderson in, having Matt Shoemaker come back. Matt Shoemaker is kind of the lost name in all this because he was so good before he tore his ACL last year.
Right.
To have those guys there and just let the batters know, okay, you're not going to have to climb out of a four-run hole after three innings. You are going to have someone who we believe will keep you in the game. So it's not just the pitcher's mentality that's helped by having these veterans around. It's the batter's mentality as well, because now all of a sudden they don't have to try and make things happen. They don't have to swing out their boots trying to find home runs to catch up. They can take their time. They can work pitchers and just have the patience that they did not have the luxury of having last season with the likes of Jacob Wagasback and Ryan Furibend and Anthony Kay. They're too many.
You could have made up all those names. That's how little for all I know, for a second, you just made that last one. Actually, do you know what? The one I know you didn't make up was Anthony Kay. And I know that not just because he went to UConn, just like my mother went to UConn, but he was kind of the key piece of the Marcus Stroman trade. That he was the New Yorker who was brought in, who was, everyone thought was going to be groomed to be the next big star and, you know, homegrown, hometown boy in New York. And he was brought in when the Mets kind of stunningly dealt for Marcus Stroman. He had pitched very well in Binghamton last year, and then was promoted to Syracuse, and then wound up going to Buffalo, which they changed around the AAA team so much. I thought Buffalo was the Mets team, and I thought Syracuse was the Blue Jays team. But no, Syracuse used to be the Blue Jays team, but now Buffalo's the Blue Jays team. I don't always know what's happening in the world of AAA, but all I do know is that he earned a spot with a, you know, a solid all-around year in the minor leagues, earned a spot in the major league roster. He is 24, which is, means he is a decent age, but not quite as young. He's going to be 25 by the time the season starts. So this is around the time he has to blank or get off the pot in terms of his major league ability, if he ever wants to be a stud in the major leagues as opposed to a career life.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Anthony Kay and where, how he could fit in as a young lefty in the Blue Jays rotation?
Well, I do think Kay has a very good chance to latch on eventually in Toronto. See, the Blue Jays have a dearth of left-handed pitching. Aside from you, the only other starter who's left-handed is Ryan Borucki, and it's going to be a major competition for that fifth spot, for that fifth rotation spot, as opposed to last season when, again, if you could manage to keep your arm attached to your body for five innings, you got to start a game for the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
So because there's actual competition this year, if you take those four spots that I mentioned earlier for Ryu, Roark, Anderson, and Shoemaker, that leaves one spot. And it's not just Kay who's going to be battling for it. It's going to be Trent Thornton, who led the Blue Jays in innings last year, which that tells you everything you need to know. Borucki's going to be coming back. TJ Zoik, who got a call up last year, he's going to be in the picture. Jacob Wagasback's going to be there. Shun Yamaguchi, who they signed out of the Japanese League, is going to be competing for it. And then, of course, there's the question of how long this spot will actually be open, because the big eyes in Toronto are on Nate Pearson, who will be in spring training with the club. And it's widely expected that Pearson's going to be up in the majors by May or June. So this may be a temporary thing. Mm-hmm. But Kay's going to have the advantage of being a lefty arm who the Blue Jays know can pitch at the major league level and may benefit from more major league experience, as opposed to a guy like Berucki, who's just coming back from injury and might be better served starting in Buffalo. But he is going to have to take out Trent Thornton, because Trent Thornton is the front runner for that job, just based on, you know, being the durable guy that the Blue Jays had last year.
Right. Now, just for people who weren't following the Blue Jays very closely last year, AJ Andrews is our guest from Locked On Jays, and she made two starts for the Blue Jays last year. That is how thin their rotation were. It was towards the end of the year, and they were kind of like, it was more of an opener situation. She didn't wasn't expected to go long, but she did indeed make two starts. I believe it was against Seattle late in the year. So
yeah,
congratulations.
Thank you. I had my knuckleball working all right, but yep.
And here's the thing. Here's how thin the rotation were. There's at least one listener of this podcast who's gone to Baseball Reference to look up to see if that was a joke or not. Because honestly, if I had said to most people who don't follow the Blue Jays, oh, and AJ Andrews made two starts, I guarantee you one person would bluff and say, oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think it would have been a little more noteworthy, but
well, okay.
I'm just happy there is an AJ on the Blue Jays now, because they have Cole in the minor leagues. So
you got a dream. Okay, let's move to the lineup for a second here, because the lineup, let me tell you, you need Hall of Famers in your lineup. And if you can't get Hall of Famers, then at least get the children of Hall of Famers in a lineup, which is why I think they have to trade for Michael Yastrzemski, because at least you get a grandchild of a Hall of Famer in there, just to sort of get that going. I can't believe, because they're doing that Field of Dreams game where they're going to be playing a real game at the Field of Dreams site. And I know the White Sox are going to be one of the teams, because that's Shoeless Joe and all, and they were the White Sox players came into the cornfield. And I believe they're playing the Yankees. How they can't be playing the Blue Jays, it blows my mind, because you have the ultimate father and son movie, and you have the ultimate father and son team. Just by bringing up Biggio and bringing up Bichette and bringing up Vladdy Jr., this is the feel-good, Papa and son team. Have them go out to the cornfield and play out there. That's just my personal take on that.
We can call up Griffin Conine for that game, too, and get Jeff involved.
Got to have it. Now, look it. I think that of all the players who played on the Blue Jays last year, the player who – in one way, I wanted to do really well was Socrates Brito, just because I love the name Socrates Brito. And I think baseball would do a lot better if Socrates Brito was a star. But he wasn't. I think that's pretty safe to say. He was not a star. He was. He went 3 for 43. Oh, no, sorry, 3 for 39. Sorry. He had an OPS of 291. That's not good.
Yeah, that life philosophy does not play in Toronto.
But that being said, between Gurriel and Grichuk and Vladdy Jr., now Justin Smoke has gone off to greener pastures, but Teoscar Hernandez.
I wouldn't call Milwaukee greener pastures.
All right, but going off to Brewer pastures. But
there you go.
There is some serious, at least, pop on this team. And they should be able to – I mean, Bichette went on that incredible home run, barrage relatively late in the season. It was like he channeled his father in Coors Field. But, I mean, if nothing else, this is going to be an entertaining team to watch on the field.
Oh yeah, and I was at one of those games later in the season. It's a little difficult for me to get to games just with the whole $500 flight and 24-hour drive options. But yeah. I did get to one of those games late in the season, and it was the one where a couple of major things happened. One, unfortunately, the Blue Jays lost Tim Mesa for the 2020 season with his Tommy John injury. Mm-hmm. But it was the game that was ended in the 12th inning by Bo Bichette walking it off. Right. And when you can instill moments like that in those youngsters, and when they want to crave those moments, they want to be the hero like that, even in the midst of just an absolutely lost season like last year, if you can dig those moments out of it, it will just end up serving so much better in the future. And when you talk to Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins, that's the kind of culture they want. They want these guys who are going to dig in, work hard, fight every game, and try and do that. And it might be a little easier with the sons of ball players who have been around that culture. But seeing Bo do that late in the season and seeing competency late in the season, I think is what's helping fuel the optimism a bit for the Blue Jays that, you know, he's not gone yet, but Mookie Betts is already packing out the door. He's just waiting for his Uber.
Yeah.
So Boston's going to be falling a bit. Mm-hmm. And Baltimore, that's a guaranteed 15 wins at least. Sorry, Baltimore, but be better. With those kind of wins in the bank, there's hope that, you know, the Blue Jays can at least play meaningful September games. Right. And then those walk-off shots from Bichette and Biggio, they'll have more meaning and can eventually propel the team forward. And not necessarily to the playoffs this season, but in 2021, when Pearson's up in the leagues and hopefully dealing like an ace, that's when the Blue Jays want to make their move. That's when they want to really attack the Yankees and what's left of the Astros that isn't jailed. But yeah, make that move to try and get back into the playoffs and get into a chance to finally add to that trophy case again.
And what's the Blue Jay fans' thoughts on, it may be too early to have a opinion on him after just one season, but on Charlie Montoyo?
I think they get the sense that Charlie Montoyo is, you know, he's similar to John Gibbons, who was very beloved in Toronto. Just, I mean, any manager who can lean back on a chair, put his feet up on a desk and crack a Coors Light and it'll just be business as usual. That's endearing. So with Montoyo, I think people are seeing a lot of that similar attitude, that laid back, you know, not ruling with an iron fist sort of manager.
Right.
But they're also seeing someone who's more willing to adapt to the analytics of the game and incorporate that into figuring out how he's going to set his lineup every day, how he's going to determine his matchups. Now, as a rookie manager, there were obviously some hiccups last season where you're just kind of looking at him and it's like, Charlie, you have a guy in the bullpen. You should probably go get him.
Yeah.
But you know, he's learning along with the team. And I think this is going to be a big season for him just to show that now that he has some more pieces to work with, now that he doesn't have to patch together 9 innings out of a pitching staff, now is going to be the chance to show what he can do with those pieces and see if he can press the right buttons the way Gibby was in 2015 and 16.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think also a lot of times, I mean, Montoyo has some minor league and World Baseball Classic managing experience and, of course, bench coach experience with Tampa. But I think it's a lot of times interesting to see what a manager's like in their second or third year because they've stubbed their toe. They've figured out some things that don't work. And they've also had to have the adversity of having a garbage rotation. I mean, and sometimes that's like trial by fire. If you can get through and, you know, squirrel some wins away, despite not being able to know who you're going to have, it's going to be interesting to see how he is when the team starts having some more talent. And by the way, speaking, I had mentioned Socrates earlier. Another player on the Blue Jays I wish was better was Elvis Emmanuel Luciano.
You may see him again. He's just going to be away for a little bit down in Dunedin.
Yeah, but he's for those of you who don't know who he is, and why would you unless you're part of his family, he is he's not yet 20 years old. And yeah,
I think he turns 20 later this month or next month.
But yeah, super young, right-handed, big, tall guy from the Dominican, 19-year-old pitcher, but just Elvis Emmanuel Luciano. I mean, I think I'm pronouncing it. I'm making him sound Italian more than anything. Maybe that's maybe it's half of my Italian ancestry coming out rooting for this guy.
I'm hoping we can pronounce him Johan Santana in a few years. I think that's the main hope for Luciano.
All right. Well, hey, what last question to ask you here. AJ Andrews of Locked On Jays, Locked On Jays on Twitter. AJ, what would you consider a successful 2020?
I would consider not having to start 20 different pitchers a success. I want to see at least 600 combined innings from the starters that we have. We have the arms there. We should be able to hit those marks and just take some stress off the bullpen, because like the bullpen's being rebuilt too. But I want to see continued steps forward from the younger Blue Jays. Like, this is going to be make or break for a lot of those outfielders, Teoscar Hernandez, Anthony Alford, Derek Fisher, Brandon Drury. It's going to be make or break for them to see if they're going to be part of the solution in Toronto or if they're going to be jettisoned out. Mm-hmm. So I want clarity there. See who can join Grichuk and Gurriel and be a part of that outfield in the future. And I want to see steps forward from those younger bats over a full season. Like, Bo was called up midway through last season. Kevin was called up midway. Vlad was called up. This is going to be their first full season, and they've had a chance to see major league pitching now. So I want to see steps forward from them. I want to see Bo can keep doing what he's doing. I want to see continued on base action from Kevin Biggio. If he can remain perfect stealing bases, that's a plus. I want to see Vlad Jr. take the struggles he had last year, the first struggles he's had in his career, and I want him to work. I want him to work to minimize those struggles, and I want to see that step forward from him. And basically, I think this can be a team that's at 500 or better. I think they added enough talent on the pitching staff that could be a reasonable leap to make. That's about 14, 15 wins. I think it's there. I think they can get to 500. I think they can play meaningful games in September. And that's what we want to see in 2020, just that next step to get towards contention next season.
Well, I am hoping the Blue Jays do well. I went to Toronto, as I said to you earlier, back in 95, just as the last gasp of that great Cito Gaston run. And I went to, back when it was called Sky Dome, and actually went to Exhibition Stadium where they played before the opening of the Sky Dome. And when, at least when I was there, the stadium is still there, but they had rolled up all of the AstroTurf. So it's like, it's this, my father and I were walking around it where Tony Fernandez and Ernie Witt and George Bell and Dave Steeb and Jesse Barfield and Lloyd Mosby and all those great players for the great teams of the Blue Jays of my youth played. And someday they will come again. And hopefully when they do, I mean, you can't not root for the likes of, especially Vladdy Jr. is just so easy to root for. So, well, look at your expectations are not of championship or bust, but it is moving towards championship or bust.
We're Canadian. Yeah, right. We're very modest.
Just yes.
Don't suck. That's all we want. Just we'll take mediocrity.
That should be on their season ticket plan. Toronto Blue Jays, 2020, don't suck.
That's our hashtag. We had Let's Rise. We had Just Blue Jays. This year's hashtag is don't suck.
Don't suck. Well, do you know what? Doesn't suck is Locked On Blue Jays, which is hosted by AJ Andrews. Thanks for being part of Locked On MLB. You can anywhere else. I mean, you can follow you on all the platforms and also on Twitter at Locked On Jays. Any other places you want to send the listeners to follow you?
My personal account is A_J_Andrews on Twitter. The underscores are in there because Twitter is dumb. Yeah. And we're Locked On Jays is on Facebook. If you're still using Facebook, you can weave through the Russian bots and follow the page and get in touch with us there. And yeah, just check in and, you know that I will be a lot happier this season as opposed to last season.
And for those of you Russian bots listening to the show, Dasvidaniya, we welcome all Russian bots to listen to it. If anything else, we can sell a little more Blue Chew. So, AJ Andrews, thanks for being part of the Locked On MLB program. As always, you can follow us in the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app and all the places you get podcasts. Follow us at Locked On MLB on Twitter and on Instagram. Eric and company are doing lots of great stuff there. Season starting pretty soon, very soon. And who knows, it may be steps ahead for the Toronto Blue Jays. Thanks, AJ Andrews. Thanks, everyone else, for listening. This has been Locked On MLB. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.